This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
The world is on the edge of explosion, even as the Olympics supposedly promised peace through sports. Today on Viewpoint, we take a look at what's happening in Israel. Israel now is the epicenter of the world's focus and efforts, even as Israel has, just in the last few days, eliminated the chief, one of the chief problems there, leading Hezbollah in the north, and then also the leader of Hamas as he went to Tehran in Iran for celebrating the new president's inauguration. All of these things before us here today, the chief rabbi in South Africa has said to Benjamin Netanyahu, Israel needs to know that it's not alone in the world. He said that no other nation will come to our rescue, so act now, save Israel, and be prepared to be condemned for doing it. Well, indeed, that is exactly what's happened as the International Court for the United Nations has indeed condemned Israel, even as the Iranian president was sworn in with chants of death to America, death to Israel. Doesn't sound like peace on earth, goodwill toward men, does it? And so today we talk about this, even as the Olympics continue to go on. There are Olympic politics taking place here, friends, and we're not making any further analogies to the Olympics today, because what is happening is so great, so severe, and so prophetic as to demand our attention for the entirety of the hour. So I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's conversation with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. So severe is the problem that Donald Trump came out, was it yesterday or today, and claimed that Israel may cease to exist if he's not reelected. Now, that may sound a little far out, but from Donald Trump's position and actually looking at the condition of the world, the geopolitical condition of the world, and where things have been going vis-a-vis the Democrat Party here in this country and those who share the sentiments of the Democrat Party in Europe and throughout the world, Donald Trump may be exactly right. The former U.S. president, Republican nominee for the 2024 election, was speaking at a fundraiser on Sunday in a New Jersey municipality that has a sizable Jewish population. He claimed that Democrats hate Israel and largely hate the Jewish people. If you don't have Jewish people voting for Republicans, you're not going to have Israel for very long, said Mr. Trump. U.S. Jews have consistently voted for the Democrat Party, however, somewhere around 75%. But it appears that there is some movement, some nominal movement toward Jews heading toward the Republican Party. The relationship between the Biden administration and Israel, Israel's government, has soured, as you well know. And so today we see how all of this is developing. It's developing very rapidly with threatenings and slaughterings coming from all over the world. Trump giving a warning to American Jews, you need to decide, do you want your nation or not? Do you want to be protected or not? You see, Donald Trump was the first one to actually fulfill Congress's, what was it, 1975, 77, somewhere around there, action that declared that Jerusalem was to be the eternal capital of Israel and the United States was to put its embassy in Jerusalem. But Republican and Democrat presidents thereafter refused to do so. Every 6 months, they found reasons not to do so until Donald Trump was elected and he said, no, that's exactly what we're going to do. And he did place America's embassy in Jerusalem, as he had promised, and as Congress had instructed previous presidents to do, but because of their fears, they refused to do so. More than that, Mr. Trump did a number of different things with regard to Israel, and so much so that they issued several coins with Mr. Trump's, picture, highlighted, embossed over the famous Persian king Cyrus, who was deemed to be a savior for Israel. Believe it or not, a Persian king, Cyrus, was deemed to be like a savior for Israel. So Mr. Trump was being analogized in Israel as like a modern day Cyrus. All other political leaders seem to be afraid, terror-stricken, wanting to pander to the pressure of the nations and not show too much affection or support for Israel, which is their only ally in the Middle East. And so this is just one indication of how severe the situation really is. The UN's top court has issued a ruling that has severe implications for Israel. This was reported in the Russian Times, and Russia doesn't have any real affection for Israel, and so the article actually reflects the Russian Times' viewpoint, or Russia's viewpoint, concerning Israel and the current situations that Israel is experiencing. The 15 judges of the International Court of Justice, which is the highest judicial organ of the United Nations, issued what is called a landmark finding, in essence, a devastating condemnation of Israel's policies and what they call crimes in the territories, which it conquered more than half a century ago as a consequence of the Six-Day War of 1967, which it still holds today. Now, the problem with this article is that it doesn't frame the issue honestly. Israel didn't conquer. What Israel did was defend. You see, Israel was attacked in 1967. Israel was attacked again in 1973. Israel has perpetually and ongoing been attacked by the surrounding Arab and Muslim nations. And then Israel wins. Israel regains the territories that it once had, like East Jerusalem, the West Bank, which is Judea and Samaria, which, if you read your Bible, you'll find out were considered the heartland of Israel. But the United Nations doesn't see it that way, because at the time of the 1967 war, Muslims or Arabs had dominion over East Jerusalem, had dominion over the West Bank, but they attacked. And they lost, and in the process, Israel regained. Israel didn't conquer. Israel regained the territories that had belonged to Israel historically. You see, it depends on how you interpret or read what is being said. So, the article says, make no mistake, this is not merely a blow to Israel's occupation and annexation. It calls into question the very foundations of Israel as a state, as it is built around the systematic defiance of justice, law, and elementary ethics. Absolutely contrary to history and reality. But that's the nation, United Nations against Israel.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Israel at risk. The entire world is surrounding geopolitically and with decisions surrounding Israel and seeking to press her into non-existence. So this ruling by the 15 judges of the International Court of Justice on behalf of the United Nations, which consists of 196 nations, says Israel must go. Basically, that's the implication of the finding. Israel must go. And so they've recognized without qualification that Israel's holding of territories, it seized. No, it didn't seize them. It recovered them. It didn't seize them. They recovered them in the Six-Day War. The West Bank and East Jerusalem. Now, the International Criminal Court is saying that Israel must remove about 750,000 Israelis that are in the West Bank, restore the West Bank, Judea and Samaria. That's what we should really be talking about, Judea and Samaria. The West Bank is a secular term adopted for purposes of antagonizing Israel. It's really Judea and Samaria. They want to remove 750,000 Israelis from Judea and Samaria, the heartland of Israel, and take over 100 settlements that they say Israel never had a right to establish. Basically, it is an action expressing a viewpoint on behalf of the nations of the world, 196 nations. We have no favor for you, Israel. You're out of here. And we'll do everything that we can to pressure you in one way or the other and support those who are coming against you. We will do everything that we can to help them along the way, geopolitically and through operation of law, through the United Nations, to destroy you. I'm putting it very bluntly because that is the real goal. So, now we have two situations that have arisen. One is the attack a few days ago. They're eliminating one of the premier leaders of Hezbollah in Lebanon. It was a surgical attack. And why did Israel do that? Because they knew that that particular individual was responsible for an unprovoked attack on a soccer game in northern Israel, in the Golan Heights, that killed 12 kids, Israeli kids. There was no reason for it. There was no provocation, but it was done. And Benjamin Netanyahu and their cabinet said, no way. You're not going to get by with this. And they discovered who the one was who actually set that attack in motion, discovered where he was, and destroyed him with a rocket attack. A very surgical effort. Well, that hit Hezbollah right between the eyes. And Hezbollah is sponsored by Iran. You see, Hezbollah is actually the arm of Iran in Lebanon against northern Israel. They've been attacking Israel with hundreds of rockets, indiscriminately. Then, in addition to that, just yesterday, Israel made another surgical attack against Israel Ismail Haniyeh, who had journeyed to Tehran, the capital of Iran, to celebrate the new president's inauguration. Israel discovered that, was able to identify exactly where he was, and surgically eliminated him with one rocket. That is, Ismail Haniyeh was the head of the snake, so to speak, the head of Hamas. He was ruling over Hamas and Gaza while becoming a billionaire by siphoning off the taxes and monies that were coming from Gaza. There's no room for sympathy for that man. He was using and abusing the Palestinian people, or the people who were inhabiting Gaza, not accurately called the Palestinian people. That's a geopolitical falsehood. On the other hand, that's what he was doing. There is only one more leader that remains. And Israel is tracking him down, Sinwar. And they will have attacked, they will have eliminated the two primary leaders of Hamas. Actually, the three primary leaders of Hamas, and also a primary leader of Hezbollah. This is a very, very big thing. So Iran now is promising a retaliatory attack. Benjamin Netanyahu said today, we will exact a heavy price for any aggression against us. After killing a Hamas leader, Ismail Haniyeh, in Tehran, and a senior Hezbollah leader in Beirut. Netanyahu said Israel had delivered crushing blows to Iran's proxies over the past few days, including Hamas and Hezbollah. Citizens of Israel, he said, the days ahead are going to be challenging. There are threats sounding from all directions, said Netanyahu. We are prepared for any scenario and will stand united and determined against any threat. Israel exact a heavy price for any aggression against us from any arena, said Netanyahu. Are you beginning to get the sense that this is not small-time stuff? This is like apocalyptic things. This is like apocalyptic talk. This is like setting the final stage for the world to circumvent, surround Israel, just as the prophet Zechariah said was going to happen. Jerusalem will be surrounded. The nations will surround Israel. Benjamin Netanyahu responds today saying, to our enemies, I say, do not underestimate us. We are brothers fighting shoulder to shoulder. So we delivered a stern warning to Israel's adversaries during a government meeting on Tuesday, yesterday. To our enemies, he said, do not underestimate us. On the battlefield, we are brothers who fight side by side, and we will continue to do so until victory. Any attempt to mislead or underestimate Israel will not succeed. He said, and Netanyahu further said that Israel is vigilant, prepared, and united in the defense efforts. Indeed, they are. However, the Bible tells us that notwithstanding Israel's strength, notwithstanding Israel's willingness to stand as brothers, shall we say, that the circumstances, the global circumstances, are going to be so great, Israel will be surrounded, the nations will seek to parse the land that God gave to Israel, the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, back in Genesis chapter 15, chapter 12, chapter 15, chapter 18, and so on. God did that. He gave an eternal leasehold to the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not Ishmael. That being the case, the entire world has a building animosity, hatred toward the Jewish people. Why? Because God chose them. And the rest of the world doesn't like being not chosen. Now, if you are a follower of Yeshua, Jesus Christ, born again, not of the flesh, but of the Spirit, you then become grafted into the original olive tree, which is Israel. You become an heir according to the promises. So, in that sense, the Apostle Peter, who was a Jew, said, of professing followers of Jesus Christ, he said, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy people. What was he saying? He was analogizing there that Gentiles who were walking with Jesus Christ, Yeshua, who was a Jew, those who are walking with him are now seen by God as chosen people. In other words, saints. So if you read in the New Testament, you'll hear constantly talk about the saints, or the saints in light, were called to be saints. So if somebody asks you whether you are a saint, be very careful about how you respond, because the average person will say, oh, no, not me. Well, if you're a born-again believer, you need to qualify that statement. If you mean by saint that I'm a perfect person, no. If you mean by saint that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ and seeking to do his will, then in that sense, I'm a saint, as the Bible says. So be careful about that. To admit to be a saint is not an act of pride if you actually understand what it means. In fact, it's an act of humility, because the only way you can possibly be a saint is to admit that you're a sinner. And your only hope for salvation is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And to receive that on the posts and doorposts and lintel of your heart, so that you can walk in holiness and in righteousness and in purity, without which no man shall see the Lord, including Jews. So this article was an interesting article coming out from Israel National News today. The question is, why do we in Israel see the danger so clearly, while the Jews of America and their Jewish leadership don't seem to feel it, don't seem to see it? That's what Donald Trump was getting at when he said to the Jewish people there in New Jersey, if you're voting Democrat, you're voting for the destruction of Israel, because they don't like you. No matter what they say, their actions reveal they don't like you. In fact, many of them hate you. And he's right. All you have to do is listen. So, that being the case, the writer says you don't have to be a prophet to know that the coming year in America is likely to witness havoc on college campuses throughout the country, another attempted political assassination, rampage in the streets, Kristallnacht 2, perhaps even a giant stock market collapse and cancellation of LL flights to the United States. So what are the Jews waiting for? He says. Why? Well, seeing the situation in America for what it is, many rabbis in Israel and political leaders, including the prime minister, have issued warnings to American Jewry, declaring that the future of the Jewish people is here in the Jewish homeland and not in alien Gentile lands. In other words, calling the Jewish people to make aliyah, or to return or come up, ascend back to Israel and Jerusalem. That call has gone up for several years now. In fact, most poignantly, the call went in France, where the Olympics are being held. This, within the last 12 months, a clarion call went out in France. You have no more place, talking about the Jewish people in France. You're not welcome there. You're persona non grata. Get out while you can. Come home. What will happen? We'll see. We'll be right back after this. This is Viewpoint.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
Iran's new president was sworn in yesterday after winning an election earlier this month. By promising to improve ties with the world and ease restrictions on social freedoms at home. But that sure didn't affect the relationship with Israel, because right in the midst of his celebration, inauguration, he was sworn in with chants of death to America and death to Israel. And at the same time, the leaders of Hamas and Hezbollah were all present there in his presence to celebrate the Iranian president's new leadership. He's supposed to be more moderate, but you never know it. He still has open antipathy toward Israel. Just as wicked Haman tried to persuade a Persian king to destroy Israel back in the days of Queen Esther. You remember, he had determined to completely slaughter all the Jewish people. It was a very, very clever plot. He had set it all up, all over the entire Persian Empire. And only because of a queen being brought in, Esther by name, and the king, Ahasuerus, taking affection of her, she, through great faith and wisdom, was able to reveal the plot that would have completely destroyed her people. She knew that if she appeared before the king and he did not reach out the royal scepter to her, it was a death sentence. So she responded by saying, "If I perish, I perish." Now that should be a statement. That should be a statement that rings in our minds and hearts as believers. Because you see, our hope is not built on things on terra firma, this world. This world is not our home. We're just passing through, right? As the song said, our treasures are laid up in heaven. Therefore, we, like Esther, can stand when everybody else is falling. We can stand and say, as Mordecai, her uncle, said to her, "Who knows but what you are called to the kingdom for such a time as this?" And so amid all the threats, amid all the rising persecution around us, just as it is with Israel's, friends, it is coming rapidly throughout the world on Christians. That's why I wrote the book, When Persecution Comes. Today, we receive one more commitment to join the Persecution Project. Praise the Lord for that. And it's not too late. The book hasn't come out yet. Some have asked, is it too late for me to join that project? I have to wait until August in order to have the resources to be able to do it. No, it's not too late. We haven't even received notice of the shipment of the books yet. We hope to receive that sometime in the next week or two. So you can become a partner with us in that project, the Persecution Project, to help get out that message of the book. When persecution comes, preparing hearts for perilous times. Now, in order to do that, the threshold amount is $250. At $250, we will provide you with 10 copies of the book before it ever goes out anywhere else. You will then be waiting on the Lord to know who you should give those books to. They're not coming to you to sell. They're coming to you to give so that you can be God's hand extended to get out a message very quickly to prepare those in your sphere of influence because of what is coming. You see, people need to know. Professing Christians need to know. If you care about them, they need to know. Pastors need to know. They're having a hard time coming to grips with the reality of our time. They just are. So, here's what you do. You write a check to Save America Ministries for $250. If you want to go $500, that will provide you with 20 books and so on. There are some who have done that. One or two for $1,000. But at $250 minimum, give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. And on your check, which you're going to make payable to Save America or Save America Ministries, put Persecution Project, or send a note, whatever you want to do, so just so that we know. Or you can go to the website, saveus.org, saveus.org. There's a special place for you to sign up for the Persecution Project that way. I hope you'll do that. Don't delay now, because we're getting very close to the release of that book. And I'm sure that you want to be part of being God's hand extended. You see, this is what something you can do. You can't do everything. I can't do everything. You can't do everything, but we can do something. What we can do, we should do, right? And by the grace of God, we will do, right? Okay. So, now, with regard to Israel, it's not just the United Nations. It's not just Iran. Now, Mr. Erdogan, the president of Turkey, has declared he will send Turkish forces if Israel enters Lebanon. Well, Lebanon has been attacking. It's Hezbollah in Lebanon, has been attacking Israel now with hundreds of rockets. And then, just a week ago, sent a rocket to attack a soccer field where kids were playing and killed 12 kids, to get 12 innocent kids. Israel responded by destroying the individual who initiated that attack. Israel does not want to enter Lebanon. But Hezbollah, which is an arm of Iran, Persia, Iran, has been doing everything it can to provoke Israel. They're sending rockets deeper and deeper into Israel. What do you expect Israel to do? Yet Mr. Erdogan says, don't you dare go into Lebanon, because I'll invade you. Turkish president threatens Israel with military invasion. Now, Turkey has one of the larger militaries in the world. Did you know that? This is not a game. What we're seeing is the fulfillment of exactly what the prophet Zechariah said was going to take place. Israel surrounded, Jerusalem surrounded, and what the prophet Joel talked about in chapter 3, where he talked about God bringing judgment on the nations of the earth, gathering them into the valley of Jehoshaphat to judge them for how they tried to divide up or parse God's land. Notice it's not Israel's land, it's God's land. God holds the title. Israel has a leasehold. God has the title. Israel has the leasehold. But the nations don't want to agree to that. They are using the land as the tool to attack Israel and destroy her. That's where we are today. This is all part, friends, of a much bigger picture. That bigger picture is what I call the battle for King of the Mountain. The battle for King of the Mountain. Because in reality, Jerusalem is the place where God called to put his name, chose to put his name there. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not the God of Ishmael, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, chose Jerusalem as the place to put his name there, and the Temple Mount, which is the heart of Jerusalem, East Jerusalem, by the way, that the nations are trying to reclaim out of Israel's hands, saying you have no entitlement there. So essentially, the nations of the earth are raising their fists against the God of creation, the God who made and preserved us a nation, the God of Israel, and are saying, we disagree. Now, who do you think is going to ultimately win that battle? You might cavalierly say, well, yeah, God is going to win the battle. Yes, but what's going to happen in the meantime? The Bible tells us what's going to happen in the meantime. Two-thirds of the Jewish people are going to lose their lives. Two-thirds. Read it in the book of Zechariah. I think it's chapter 8 or 11 or 13, somewhere there. Two-thirds. They're going to be punished double for all their sins, the Bible says. But God is still going to keep his promise and his covenant to a remnant, and that remnant will be the one to usher in Yeshua, Jesus Christ, as Messiah to reign on the Temple Mount. And you might want to get a copy of my book, King of the Mountain. It explains it all. $15 will put it in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Again, I would urge you to seriously consider getting a copy of that book, King of the Mountain, a $20 book. Yours for $15. On our website, saveus.org, you can write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. Now, if you really want to understand the greater picture, the dynamics from a complete biblical overview, from creation all the way to the return of Christ, and how that is framed in the Bible around the Temple Mount, you'll get the book. It'll open your eyes. It'll help you to understand the dynamics of what is taking place as we speak right now. I had to make a deposit at our bank today, and as I stood before the teller, somehow something was said, and it opened up a small conversation, and I said, you know, the only way you can understand what's happening politically in our world, and yes, right here in the United States, is to understand the power of the world's effort to create a new world order, globalism. All of a sudden, her eyes opened wide. She said, you know what? I think you're absolutely right. And that happened right there with a bank teller, a conversation that took maybe 60 seconds. You see, we can talk. We can listen carefully to where people are. We can make a difference wherever we are, whether it's in the bank, whether it's a post office. It doesn't matter. Always have your ears tuned. Listen to people. Try to understand. Don't be afraid. You don't know what they're thinking. That woman was so excited. So excited. Well, get a copy of the book, King of the Mountain, because I think you'll get excited, too, when you read it. Okay. Israel National News, Melanie Phillips, a British journalist, wrote a piece last week. She said, for the better part of an hour on Wednesday, that was a week ago, it was possible to believe that the Western world had not lost its mind. For some 54 minutes, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu told the U.S. Congress truth after truth about the war against Israel and demolished the malicious and grotesque accusations against it of war crimes and genocide. She said it was a magnificent, impassioned, and pitch-perfect address that roused Congress to its feet with at least 54 standing ovations. They cheered and applauded when he declared that Israel's battle against Iran was America's battle. They cheered and applauded when referring to U.S. intelligence that Iran was behind the pro-Hamas protests. He said those demonstrators stand with evil and are Iran's useful idiots. They cheered and applauded when, in a veiled reference to the Biden administration's decision to slow down the supply of arms to Israel, that Congress had mandated Netanyahu to give us the tools faster and we'll finish the job. But she says Congress cheered him, but that's not enough to save Israel or America or the West. In other words, something has to happen in our hearts. The heart of the matter is always the heart. And you can have people cheer for political reasons, but when it comes down to their own life, when it comes down to actually standing in the gap, when it comes down to actually being the person like Queen Esther had to stand against the entire Persian Empire and take the risk of her life, but she stood. And she said, if I perish, I perish. Many of us are going to come to that place because just as the world is coming against and surrounding Israel in this prophetic moment, so the world is increasingly coming against Christians, including the very Olympics. That wasn't just an innocent thing that took place there. It was an open and direct blasphemous attack against Christians in an environment that nobody would have ever expected. And it's defiled the entire Paris Olympics. But it still happened. But it paves the way for more and more of those kinds of things to happen. And it's happening in the Western world, just as it's happening in India and Pakistan and, yes, in Uganda and in Nigeria and in China and in Russia. It's happening everywhere. That's why you need to get a copy of the book when it comes out, when persecution comes. But you can be part of the Persecution Project to help get the message out quickly, much more quickly, by being God's hand extended where in your sphere of influence. Bloom where you're planted. And for $250, you'll get 10 books when they come out, before they're ever available to the public. You're going to get 10 books, and you put those, you ask the Lord where he would have you to give those books. Not sell them, give them. And you could become part of that persecution project. You need to do it as soon as possible before the books ship. Once they ship, the persecution project is not open anymore. And that's going to be sometime in the next 2 weeks. So I hope you'll respond. Send your check to Save America Ministries for $250 or $500, whatever. And we'll get those out to you. Send it to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Or you can give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Again, if you're writing a check, write a note or put it on your check, Persecution Project. Okay, now, we have much to conclude with here, and I hope you'll continue to stay tuned. Even the billionaire, the multi-billionaire Elon Musk has claimed now that the Democrat Party is openly anti-Semitic. Openly Semitic. Semitic. That's a pretty strong statement for him to make. Openly Semitic. Now, if I were you, you see, I wouldn't want to cause my identity to be linked with a political party that, for the most part, is in opposition to the Jewish people and to Israel. And the reason for that is that the Bible says, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. God said that to Abraham right up front. So to align oneself with a political party or position that frames itself in large measure in antipathy to the Jewish people, to Israel, and in favor of Israel's opposition, whether it be Iran, whether it be so-called Palestinian people, whatever it may be, you have set the tone of your own heart and spirit against the very Spirit of God. That's a tough thing. Think about it. Think about it. The South African chief rabbi said to Benjamin Netanyahu, Israel needs to know that it is alone in the world. No other nation, he said, will come to our rescue. So act now, save Israel, be prepared to be condemned for doing it. Now, the same is true here in America, friends. The same is true right here on these shores. If you act to preserve this country as opposed to becoming part of a new world or global order, you then are placing yourself in alignment with God's will. Now, that may sound strange to you. It's not that we're lifting up America as some hyper-godly place. No, we're not doing that. No nation ever fits that bill, including Israel. However, God ordained that the nations be separate. He defied and came against, dramatically against, the peoples after the flood of banding together to build the Tower of Babel, to unify. He didn't want that. He wanted the nations to be separate so that they would not try to unify, so that they would not try to set themselves collectively against God. But that's what the world order is about. That's what the New World Order, the global government, the Great Reset, or whatever you want to, whatever euphemism you want to talk about, that's what it's about. And one particular party in this country supports that big time. It's not that there aren't Republicans that support it. There are. And that's why they oppose Donald Trump. And I'm not here to present Donald Trump as some sacrosanct savior. But when he said, we're here to make America great again, under God, which he said, he's speaking the language, geopolitically, of the Bible. You may not think that he's a particularly godly man, and that's fine. I don't see him as a great spiritual leader either. Maybe quite the contrary in one sense. Certainly his background doesn't reveal that. And sometimes his mouth doesn't reveal that. But maybe neither does yours. Sorry to say that, but how many people, how many professing Christians, including your pastors, go along using profanity? Yeah. I've heard it right in a pastor's own office. I've heard it directly. That's right. So don't get too sacrosanct in your own thinking. So the chief rabbi of South Africa says, you know what? You're going to have to be strong, and you're going to have to stand, having done all to stand. The whole world is going to come against you, is going to condemn you for doing what you're doing. The whole world is condemning true Christians for doing what we're doing, friends. Do you not realize that yet? That's why the persecution is mounting. So, when the Iranian president sworn in with chants of death to America, death to Israel yesterday, basically, the former Persian Empire, now called Iran, led by Khamenei, is declaring that the whole world now is against the only two nations, or a remnant within the only two nations, that continue to this day to be known as God-fearing nations, America and Israel. And the whole world is agreeing with Iran in that regard. Who do you agree with, by the way? Just checking. Think about it. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for wisdom for Mr. Netanyahu. Can you imagine the whole world against you? Can you imagine that? Can you? Thanks for joining us. Become a partner, friends. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries. Do it today.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.